Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna see my girl? I ain't that dumb. You wanna see my girl? Check Maxim. Man, why does every black actor got a rap some? I don't know. All I know is I'm the best one. It's a bonfire. Turn the lights out. I'm burning everything you motherfuckers talk about. It's a bonfire. Turn the lights out. I'm burning everything you motherfuckers talk about. You know these rapper dudes talk, talk, start killing. That got booms like an arch villain.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts, Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
Oh, my cousin, now he can't even think straight. Black and white music, now that's a mixtape. Shout out to my words.
Thanks, Rob. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this special September 18th episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com, live from the Gatorade Studios. Support for the show is also provided in part by FanDuel. FanDuel and the FFPC proudly bring you the FFPC Daily Fantasy Championship. Compete for more than $25,000 in prizes and 11 free main event teams now at FanDuel.com. Greetings and salutations, all you Balkaholics and Gerzak fanatics. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman, and my co-host is, of course, the Dizzle, Dave Gerzak. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll take a look at all the injuries around the NFL that are affecting your FFPC and Football Guys Players Championship lineups this Sunday. And we will debut our new HSFF FFPC DFC LA segment as well. Main event leader, Bo Berman, is going to drop by to give us the skinny on drafting a dominant team and the importance of waiting on a quarterback. Shout out to the chat room right now, Two Packer, Nine Route, Henry Mudo, Rednecks, Wiggy, all hanging out there amongst others. You guys can post any questions you have for me or Dave in there, or if you have one for Bo, we'll get it to him as well. We are on Twitter at HSFF Hour. I'm on Twitter at Eric Balkman, and Dave is on Twitter at David Gerzak. Facebook is facebook.com/the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. And if you want to give us a call tonight, feel free to do so at 347-426-3682. That's 347-GAME-OBA. You can also email the show at the FedEx inbox at highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Our producer, mutual friend Rob, and audio engineer Bryce are working hard manning that email inbox. They'll get those questions to us as we move on throughout the show tonight. And we'll do our best to get to all the questions, all the tweets, all the emails in our fantasy feedback segment later on in the show. Dave, we have been off, I said for 3 weeks, but really we only missed two shows. The last show we did at all was at the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship in Louisville. What a great weekend that was. And what a great weekend the FFPC live events were at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. I had a blast out there. You did too. Seemed like the players tolerated it.
Yeah, they had a great time, Bonte.
They put up with it once again.
You have to admit.
Hundreds of people came out there again, got to meet a lot of the listeners to the show, got a ton of compliments on the show, which was very cool, meeting people saying that. And I would say we got 10 times, as many compliments as we got 10 times the complaints, critiques, a lot of people saying, like, look, don't sully the FFPC brand with this show. You're train wrecking it. You're killing the golden goose. And quite frankly, this could be our last show tonight.
Oh, no, we're going on.
Okay, we're going to.
We're sticking with it.
You heard it from the horse's mouth, ladies and gentlemen.
We're under contract. They cannot let us go at this point.
Right.
It's guaranteed.
Exactly. Two Packer in the chat room wants to remind everybody that he is currently leading the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship main event.
Oh, that's right, Balky. You know, bring that up. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
How many points did he score exactly?
I don't know. It's 200 plus, but there's 334 teams in the Kentucky main event this year, and our good buddy Tupacker is in front of all of them, including all of yours and mine.
Well, you know, he was in the car with us, and we were talking about all the guys we like. So, I mean, you know, I don't want to take too much credit, but you're welcome, Baker Boy.
Baker Boy. Yeah. Tupacker?
Yeah, same thing. Whatever.
Yeah. No, the thing is, it's like, you know, we do this show and we give all this great advice and we tell people who to pick. And then when, you know, since everybody who plays fantasy football listens to our show, then we get snaked on all our picks and we get trapped. I had no idea I was such a big Rashad Jennings fan.
Yeah.
I got him in like three or four different spots in Kentucky.
I got to tell you, I was looking at a lot of my Kentucky teams. I blew it. I blew it, man.
You know, I will say
I have a week four and on teams that are going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Arian Foster on the bench.
Todd Gurley.
Gurley on the bench.
Yeah.
Whoever, who names and also already was hurt before the season.
Le'Veon Bell. Well, he wasn't hurt, but.
Yeah, I have him on one team. You know, I'm an idiot.
You're not an idiot, okay? You had a lot going on. How many people in Kentucky were busy opening football guys' drafts while they were drafting? You know what I mean?
That is true.
Dave, exciting news from the FFPC yesterday. Want to encourage everybody to sign up for the FFPC Daily Fantasy Championship with our friends at FanDuel.com. You can qualify for the $25,000 grand prize that's going to be given away in week 12. By signing up for $25 per team in our contest that we have this week. You and I will be playing in it.
Yeah, it's awesome. We're allowed to play.
We are allowed to play in it, which is very cool. And we, in our segment later on in the show, the HSFF, FFPC, DFS, FCLA, we will be talking about our lineups in that, which is very exciting.
We already have 245 entries, which is pretty solid. We just announced it last night.
Thursday night we announced it, and it's capped at 425. I actually need to get in there. I haven't gotten in there yet, so I need to get in there.
Are you getting 10 teams?
No, I will not be getting 10 teams. I tend to spread myself a little bit thinner than that rather than soak everything. But I encourage people who want to, you know, if you win this week, you get a main event entry next year. There's plenty of cash being given away every single week. I think, what was it, 13,000 in prizes every single week?
Yeah, when you factor in the bonus money, that's what it adds
right
up to. I mean, it does get to 120th place. I mean, if you're in the top quarter-ish of the thing, actually even better than that.
And even if we sell out, still 120% payout. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So very, very cool. We hung out with some of the guys at FanDuel this past weekend. They're good people. We definitely encourage you.
At the Calvin Harris
show. Yep, we were at the Calvin Harris show at Omnia. That was very cool of them.
That was pretty awesome.
And,
we got Chris Lambert and Courtney.
And her daughter, Courtney Lambert, who helped out with the FFPC this year.
That was great.
Yeah.
Alex was out partying.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He really was partying.
Yeah. He had a great time. So enough about Vegas. It was a great time. So awesome meeting all of you. We are now 8 minutes into the show, Dave. We've talked about no fantasy football stuff, and we have Bo Berman coming up at quarter past. So let's get into the news here. According to the Pewter.
By the way, we are now allowed to talk about the crappy teams.
The crappy teams.
The teams that we were not talking about before the season. So
Yeah. And let's lead off with one of those crappy
teams. That's what I was getting to.
Good point. PewterReport.com's Eric Horchy says that Mike Evans was limited in practice yesterday, but he did. Evans said he feels 100% despite being limited. This obviously hurts ASJ if Evans is going to give it a go on Sunday. So temper down your ASJ expectations. But what are you doing with Mike Evans? If he's active, you got to play him, right? I mean, unless you're loaded at receiver, he's got to be in your starting lineup, even though he might not be 100%.
Yeah, but I'd roll him in there right away. You must have to.
Okay. So ASJ, if you have like a guy like, let's say, Jordan Reed or Jason Witten, you're playing both those guys out of them, right?
I would play Witten. You know, I guess so. I mean, Austin Spurrier Jenkins, he had such a, you know, he had a great breakout game in the first game. I still feel like he's going to have a good game. I don't think that he's just going to go away. And granted, he won't have this monster game like he already had. So I don't know. I guess kind of a coin flip for me on those.
Makes Jameis Winston kind of an interesting daily play with his full arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's still 10-point dogs at the Saints. So apparently the people in Vegas aren't buying it.
Yeah, apparently they're not, or they're really buying the Saints.
That's true.
BuffaloBills.com states that LeSean McCoy was limited during practice yesterday as well. McCoy actually left practice when he felt his hammy tighten up. Rex Ryan hopes that he's going to play, not expects. And McCoy, again, didn't look all that great week one. He's going up against the Patriots this week, Dave. I think, you know, it's very difficult for you to have two running backs in your team that are better than LeSean McCoy. But given how many times I saw him in the third round, both in Kentucky and in Vegas, I think it is certainly possible that you might have two better running backs. And you could make it a decent case for sitting McCoy again this week.
Well, yeah, I mean, you already made a mistake drafting him. So, I mean, why perpetuate it by starting him now when he's hurt?
You're just sinking that cost further is basically.
Exactly. I mean, if you have a good guy, throw him in there. I mean, if he's dinged up, you know, why roll that way? They're not going to score that many points, probably. I mean, you might get a few.
Yeah, it always seems like the Bills play New England tough, but it's always a slobber knocker type game, not a shootout. Yeah,
I think this could be like a 21-17 type of game.
So unless you have, like, I mean, some really good options. Okay, let me ask you this. Darren Sproles or LeSean McCoy?
Is that if McCoy is starting, I would start McCoy over Sproles. I mean, Sproles is one-third of that rushing attack. Granted, even with the 55 over under and, you know, getting tons and tons and tons of plays and Sproles having a big week one, I'd still have to go McCoy.
Is McCoy a top 25 running back for you this week?
Probably.
I mean, borderline, is that where he sits for you?
I don't know, man. I don't have all the rankings.
I suppose it's kind of unfair because you don't own McCoy anywhere.
Dobbs is the one who does like 15 right. hours in a row of projections for four straight days.
Does he really?
Something like
that. That seems like, to me, a little bit of overkill. I mean, do things really change that much that you need to pound out 15 straight or four straight 15-hour days?
His Tuesdays, I know, are in that neighborhood. I don't know about the rest of it.
That's crazy.
So I don't talk to him, though. Try not to.
Yeah, don't bother him. Don't bother him, and check out where he has McCoy ranked at footballguys.com. Rand Getland from the NFL Network says T.Y. Hilton's day-to-day is going to be – he's probably going to be a game-time decision on Monday, which is really bad. This is against the Jets. Obviously, Darrell Revis will probably be responsible part of the time for covering him. I think you got to sit Hilton, man. I own him in a couple leagues. He's not in any of my starting lineups right now. The only way I would play him is if I had Moncrief on my bench and I could make that decision. But I'll tell you the worst case scenario is in that, what happens if Hilton's active? Now what do you do? Because if he's not 100% and Moncrief is getting a lot of snaps and they're limiting Hilton snaps, it kind of kills both of their values. I would actually root for Hilton to be out if I own Moncrief.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I mean, you just have to sit Hilton. Even if you had like Fleener, I'd probably, I would still sit Hilton and start somebody else. Like,
but in that scenario, if Hilton and Moncrief are both active and you only have one spot for him, are you playing Hilton on Monday?
I mean, I guess it just depends on what the exact wording of the news reports are from various sources. I mean, that you have to kind of read into the tea leaves.
That's getting technical.
Well, not to not commit, but I mean, I don't know.
But if you don't,
Hilton looks great. He's active. He's going to be starting, no problem.
Right.
Hilton's walking a little gingerly out there, but he's active. You know, he's sitting with his helmet on the side. Well, there you go.
For that game, Colts and Jets on Monday night, I'm playing Brandon Marshall for sure. I'm playing Andre Johnson for sure. If I have Eric Decker, T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief, then I'll make the decision between those guys on Monday night. But if I have literally anybody else not in that game, I'm not playing Hilton. I'm not touching it. It's just too risky.
Yeah, I only own Hilton and Carrington. He's on the bench.
Now, there you go. And which, by the way, you have an embarrassment of riches of receivers. It's not even affecting you.
There's a lot of young rookie guys who are kind of still sucky, Balky. Like Allen Robinson,
right,
or whatever.
Right. We're going to talk about, I think we have some Allen Robinson stuff coming up later in the show. I could be wrong. Speaking of high scores of the week, who had the high score in Blake Carrington week one?
Was it you, Balky?
Yes, it was. 171. I was super pumped. And off to a fast start in week two because I had Emmanuel Sanders and the Broncos D going last night. So good luck to who's ever playing me. It's all over, Dave. Yeah, I got that league wrapped up.
Yeah, Mr. Emmanuel Sanders hater preseason. You're over here riding the ridges to Emmanuel Sanders stardom.
In the short term snap decision of redraft fantasy football, yeah, I was wrong. But in the long term chess versus checkers of dynasty football, I clearly made the right decision of Emmanuel Sanders.
Yep, I'm 0-1 in that league. We'll see how it turns out.
Speaking of Carrington players, your Blake Carrington running back, Todd Gurley, practiced in full for the second straight day yesterday, according to StLouisRams.com.
I don't think I own Gurley, by the way.
Oh, I own Gurley and Carrington. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. You own Gurley in all these redraft games.
I own Gurley in a ton of other dynasty, but I didn't have the number one pick.
That's true.
I own Abdullah and some other crap.
Right. So this is kind of a quagmire here, Dave. If Gurley is active, Mason practiced today, so he could be active. And Benny Cunningham, obviously, is healthy, so you could have all three of those guys go. And they are facing a pretty poor, I think it's the Raiders. Is that who they're playing? It's that time of the year where we need to bust out
those
lovely
schedules?
FFPC schedules. I saw one on the way in and I forgot to grab it. If anybody in the chat room, because I don't want to open up a separate browser, are you looking it up right now?
I can find it, Paul.
I know it's
Rob, what do you got?
It's a real good matchup.
Washington.
Okay, Washington. Yeah, which you can.
Thanks, Rob.
That's like Swiss cheese defense. So you can definitely run through that. Okay, what are you doing? You could, because you can speak to this to some authority because you do own Gurley and Mason.
In a Kentucky league, I own Gurley, Mason, and Benny Cunningham. And Richie Cunningham.
What was the league? I saw you bought Benny Cunningham for like $300-something. Is that the auction league?
I don't know.
In Kentucky? I was really surprised about that.
Hey, sometimes you put them in early in the week and you forget to
change
them.
All right. I didn't know if it was one of those.
I hate having a lot of bidding dollars left. I like to squirm around with like 150 all season.
We're going to talk to Bo Berman just coming up in a couple of minutes here. And one of the questions that we're going to ask him is how he treated the waiver wire this week. What did you do with James Jones?
What do you mean?
In Kentucky this past week. Because he was available in a lot of football guys' leagues, too.
I tried to get him, you know.
But you failed?
I mean, I think we got him in some league. I mean,
I know I got him in one league, and I paid – it was a $1,000 budget, and I think I paid like $380-something. But I saw him going for like $500, $600. I know somebody told me – an FFPC player told me in one of their football guys' leagues, $994 for James Jones on Wednesday.
In one of our dynasty leagues, Brandon Coleman went for $1,000 flat, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
25-man roster, so you have kickers and defenses, but – Damn, dude, that's a lot of money.
Turn it into a dynasty DE, basically.
That is crazy.
Wow. Okay, so James Jones, you put in some healthy bids on him.
Yeah, the threes is probably in the neighborhood where I was bidding.
The problem I have with that is, like, you know, you want to spend significant money on a guy whose quarterback trusts him, who's done it before. You remember, James Jones is 2 years removed or 3 years removed from leading the NFL in touchdown catches. So he can do it. Mm-hmm. But are you really going to pump that much money into a team number three receiver?
Well, keep in mind, Randall Cobb pretty much breaks his knee or shoulder or whatever female body parts he's got rolling around in his body every other week. He's always hurt.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. And that's part of the reason that I justified my James Jones bids. I only got him in one league, though.
And Davante Adams, you don't even know if he's any good.
I think we know he's good.
No, he's not that. I think we know he's not all that great.
I totally disagree with that.
He had a bunch of, you know, touchdowns right in his hands last year. He dropped.
I don't know.
What did he do last year?
Define bunch.
Nine? Did he have 9 points? How many points did he have?
You can't just extrapolate one game of him as a starter and
say, he's a future Hall of Fame quarterback throwing to him. Right. The dude can't even catch, you know, break 10 fantasy points. And by the way, I'm not sure about those numbers.
I think he had like 4 for 59 this past week.
So really, was it under 10?
I think it was
under
10,
see,
yeah.
Well, I know my stuff.
Let's do something with Davante Adams here now. How do you want to do this the rest of the season? We know James Jones.
Oh, now it's the whole season.
Well, okay. I don't want to do. Do you want to do a weekly thing with Davante Adams this week?
Let's just place one bet.
How do you want to do it? Davante Adams finishes as a blank receiver this year. Top
24.
Top 24 receiver.
Pretty nice, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
I
say he is, and I got five on it.
I say he is not, and I got five on it. You have this whole thing where I have to recite the whole thing to you, Walkie.
See, this stinks. I don't even know if it played.
You should sing the song.
I don't have to. I don't have to. Play. I got five on it.
All right, let's get the guest in.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna bring on
my first question is his name Ira or both?
I don't know what you're talking about there, my friend.
I get through this one?
No. Let's bring in tonight's guest. He's been playing fantasy for roughly 10 years, one of the many players who left meat on the bone, to borrow a Joseph Randall reference, at the W Coffee. Finished in the main event fourth there in their last year. And he says he hopes they enjoy his $15,000, which really stinks.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. His last 2 years, he's been averaging 50% of his football guys' teams in the playoffs. He finished third overall and 19th overall out of 7,000 teams 2 years ago.
Damn.
He would have actually won it if he would have played Joe Flacco in the Cincinnati defense as opposed to Colin Kaepernick in the Seattle defense.
Let's not bring that up.
Very unfortunate. But you know what? He's leading the 2015 FFPC main event after 1 week of action. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome into the show Bo Berman. Bo Berman, how's it going tonight, man?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you for having me, guys.
We're very excited to have you because you've been such a long, long time player. You've had so much success. We've had friends of yours on the show, Aaron Magerian and AJ Kelsall. They were on season one, and we know that you're good friends with them, and they were definitely entertaining to have on. But now, clearly, you're the brains of the operation, leading the FFPC main event after week one, Bo.
Please don't let any of those two guys hear that. The egos are extremely huge. However, I will tell you it's very beneficial having Aram and AJ to bang things around, just like you bang things around between the two of you guys. So both of those guys are extremely helpful. And sometimes when we remember that we have two ears and only one mouth, we actually put some pretty good stuff together.
Yeah, you know, and Bo, just to bring up one of the things that was brought together for the show tonight, actually, Aram sent me sort of a biography on you because he felt that you would be too modest in listing your accomplishments. So
this is great.
This is more of an accurate one here. He says, Bo Berman, this is from Aram Magerian, FFPC player. He says Bo is one of the most popular high-stakes fantasy football players in the community. He's best known for his third-place overall finish in the Football Guys Players Championship 2 years ago, as well as a seventh-place finish in the Tampa High-Stakes Poker Fantasy Football League the last three seasons. He's actually Bo's developed.
Was that an A-teamer?
Yeah, I don't know. Bo has actually developed quite a reputation in the daily fantasy world by finishing 93,000th place or worse on seven different occasions over the last 2 years. And his best team name of all time, which I'm going to censor it. It's No Effing, Just HJs. Had a nice run in last year's main event, only to fall to the Iceman in week 12. His only trouble at this year's draft was the heights of the tables, as there were no booster seats available to allow him to get a clear view of the draft board. Despite this handicap, he drafted some great teams. He's here today to tell us how. And apparently, Bo, you've been voted most improved fantasy football player for seven straight years. Is that correct?
Well, you got to love Aaron McGarian. Let me tell you, he's a lot better lawyer than he is a comedian. So that is going to be very helpful in his future. And David, why are you laughing at stuff when he says stuff like that? It only encourages him.
I really shouldn't. After, if you saw my Kentucky teams, you'd just be laughing at the draft board. So, Bo, when you're not busy leading our main event, what do you do for a living?
Unfortunately, as I tell everybody, if I'd been a little bit better ball player and I wasn't stuck at Miami High Line after 5 years working at Miami High Line, after 5 years of going to the combination of University of Vermont and the University of Miami, then I probably wouldn't be the lawyer that I am today. But my mama, God rest her soul, she gave me a little buzz up and said, Ira, I really didn't send you to school for 5 years for you to work at Miami High Life. So if you want any additional fundage, you're going to need to pick something. So I picked law school, and 36 years later, a member of the Florida Bar, that's what I do.
Congratulations. Very exciting stuff. That's very good. I always like it when we get we always have people smarter than us on the show, Dave, but I like it really get the upper echelon of society, the doctors, the lawyers. These are the people that I learn the most from. So
Eric, trust me. As the counselor said as I walked into Stetson University that day, he said, Ira, you got a tremendous combination. I said, what is that, sir? He says, well, I think you have the lowest GPA and the lowest LSATs ever to be admitted in this place, and you probably got no shot of making it. But that's neither really near here nor there. Actually, the law is not my love. I mean, besides practicing law, I do a lot of charity work, and more important, I do a lot of charity work, and I still coach high school baseball, which is a tremendous passion of mine. So the law allows me to do other things, and which one of them is fantasy, which obviously I have a tremendous passion for, and I thank the FFPC for allowing me to live that passion.
Well, I'm not sure if you know this, but Eric's a big Florida State fan, and I don't know if you do any criminal law, but if you do, you must obviously represent a bunch of FSU players, right?
Well, there's no doubt. And plus, I went to the University of Miami. So the University of Miami and Florida State, we have a nice little rivalry. And, yes, Florida State does occupy itself in the news on multiple occasions, but I have not had the personal pleasure of representing any of them individually.
That's great.
You know, it's unfortunate.
But it's so great.
I have nothing but respect for the U and everything they stand for, all the
talent.
As
you should.
Yeah, and it's
all
just
the championships.
I think it's an unfortunate situation that all these students and athletes at the University of Florida, all those Gators, continually setting up Florida State players for these crimes they clearly did not commit, for, you know, just to get them into trouble. And I know that the U would never do anything like that, and that's why I will not speak any ill of any on the show tonight or going forward. So let's get back to fantasy here, Dave. I want to talk to Bo here about leading the main event, because it is a tremendous accomplishment no matter what week you do it. You've done it week one, my friend. You drafted this team live at Caesars Palace this past weekend. Bo, as you were drafting it, as you were building it, what was sort of the impression and thoughts you had as you were constructing this roster?
Well, I think the first thing that happened, as you were aware, we have a different way of drafting mainline teams. The first game goes off, and there were two monsters who already were two monsters even before this draft was going to take place. I would imagine from the football players at the top three generating picks most of the time, you were going to find Le'Veon Bell, Rob Gronkowski, and Antonio Brown. And that was just cemented for Gronkowski and Brown predominantly in all the leagues drafted live. So I'm in the three hole, and you know, the guy to my left fortunately was an Adrian Peterson fan. So
the first pick
was a no-brainer for me. Went Gronkowski, then went Peterson, and then I took Antonio Brown. And as we know in this business, you can just about, because of the streak that he has, you can just write him in, forget the 30 that he or whatever he banked. He's going to write the guy in for five catches and 70 or 80 yards every single week. This Roethlisberger is going to make it about three seasons for him to meet those goals that he's already met in the last 2 years. So Brown was a no-brainer. I'm a wide receiver guy. I heard you talking about McCoy earlier. I am sure the guys who drafted last year, running backs that broke down early, anybody who had themselves Moneyball at the end of the first round, and probably guys who are sitting with C.J. Anderson right now, probably shaking their heads a little bit. Wide receivers have a little bit more durability to them most of the time. I'm not saying they haven't gotten hurt this year early on in the loss of Benjamin and Jordy Nelson, and now Hilton a little banged up and Bryant gone. But I'm a wide receiver guy, and if that guy is there, I'm looking to bank in the first four rounds 20 points. I just think it's a lot easier to do it from a wide receiver getting a huge amount of targets, and that was the theory going in. I would have not taken any, but if the three-hole Brown wasn't there, I wasn't taking Peterson, I wasn't taking Lacy, and I wasn't taking Bell. My other pick would have been Julio Jones. So those are the guys that I try to target early.
So, I mean, fantastic pick with Brown. And you did grab Carlos Hyde a little bit later in the draft. You must be a big believer in him. A lot of pundits have been talking about – I love using the word pundits. A lot of pundits.
Pundits and Eric Balkman.
A lot of pundits, also Eric Balkman,
yeah,
have been talking about how the Niners might have a rough year. They looked pretty good this past weekend, this weekend. But nevertheless, they could get behind in some games. But Hyde looked really tremendous, actually. I was watching him, and I was really impressed and bulky. I talked down about him a little bit early last season.
Yeah. I've been talking him down all season, and
yeah,
I own him.
I know. I should have traded. Anyway, so you drafted him. So what do you think of him? I mean, he's obviously crushing it early on, and now Reggie Bush got hurt too.
Well, I like Hyde. Hyde's in a, we talk about cues in this business, and Hyde was in a Stewart, Ivory, and Hyde queue, always looking, especially when you go four, if you're going four wideouts, and after I bagged Brown and I went with Hilton, Hopkins, and Keenan Allen, you obviously are chasing running backs. You have to make a choice in whatever strategy that you are doing. So Hyde was available. Stewart and Ivory went right before. I've been a big Ivory fan, so it boiled down, if I had a choice, it was going to be Ivory or Hyde. Hyde I like from a talent standpoint. Anybody watched the 49ers the last 3 years, I have a picture in my mind of Frank Gore getting caught from behind by a defensive lineman. And I just thought Hyde, it's a lot younger, great talent. The offensive line, which has always been the strength of the 49ers, was going to stay intact. No matter how many guys they lost on defense, that offensive line was still going to be the strength of their team. And if they kept the style like they have run in the past, and a lot of it's built around Kaepernick, and if you're running the read option, and the ends have to blow themselves up field to make sure that Kaepernick doesn't get outside, it does leave gaping holes and put a lot of yards on Frank Gore for the years that he's been with Kaepernick. And if anybody remembers when RG3 was actually a viable player in this league, it put a lot of yards on Alfred Morris running the same exact play because you could not commit enough players. So Hyde was somebody that I targeted, and I was very pleased to be able to get him in the fifth round.
Now, Hyde certainly a great choice, or looking like a great choice so far, especially in the fifth round, which is really, really good value. Bo Berman is our guest tonight on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. He is in first place in the FFPC main event. And on that team, Bo, what I think is so interesting is you put up the highest score of anyone in the contest in week one, but you also have Todd Gurley on this team. Duke Johnson, Julius Thomas are all on this roster as well. It is a deep team. These guys are going to take, you know, maybe a month or so to start paying off dividends from where you drafted them. So is getting off to a quick start in the main event, obviously you didn't know you were going to put up, you know, 211 points or whatever it was, 221 or whatever, week one. Drafting these guys, do you believe that getting off to that quick start in the first few weeks in the main event is a little bit overrated?
I think it is, to be quite honest with you. It's nice to be here. It's nice to chat about it. But it's 1 week in an 11-week segment, and it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. What I think you do after your first week is you either say, whoa, I was somewhat spot on, or you say to yourself, well, another year. I guess it's only about 363 more days before I'm back here in Vegas to try to do the right thing. And that's all you really can do. And when I took a look at this team along with the other three main liners, they got a little bit of depth to them. I'm happy with all four of them. I'm very happy with this team. And what you try to do is, whether it be here or in the football players, I'm not trying. It's nice. It is a nice bank if you can win your league. But I think you got to have a solid squad, a team that you think somehow is going to get you to 160 points a week average. And if you can do that and get the opportunity in the playoffs and get the opportunity weeks 14, 15, and 16, then you got to say to yourself, how do I put up 220 to win it, or 190, what it's going to take to average in a three-week time frame? So when I had the first four guys, I had my kids sitting next to me, and we looked at each other after we got Hyde and said, hey, let's just go for it. Let's go top end in the next round with Todd Gurley. Let's not just try to get some filler 8 or 10, 12-point player in that spot. Why don't we just try to get some top-end guy in Gurley who is playing in a division probably a little less effective defensively than it's been in the past, with San Francisco maybe not being the same defense, Seattle maybe not being the same defense, Arizona maybe not being the same defense, which will give the running back, because Mason had some success there last year, and obviously they invested a first-round pick. So Gurley, to us, was a top-side player that if he didn't play until week six for me right here, I actually wouldn't care, because I would rather have the guy totally healthy. Although he's practicing this week, and I'm not real crazy about them rushing him back in. I would rather him be 100% healthy and be a tremendous, you know, combination if Hyde maintains of a 1-2 running back to where it will just complement the four wide receivers. And Julius Thomas was the same way. You got to chase a little bit of a running back after I had Gurley, so I went running back in 7, 8, and 9. And again, I looked at my kid, and again, we say, you know, we're trying to win 300 dimes here. So why don't we just go upscale, see if we can hang on the first couple of weeks, pick a tight end later on that's functional, and maybe Julius Thomas will be that guy in the Jacksonville offense with a rookie, with a second-year quarterback who might find a comfort zone with a tight end that has done it before. So that was the theory in building with those two guys, that hold on and maybe get to the playoffs and then have two extra guys that can bang out those 20-point weeks to build that 200-point team that you're going to need to win the whole ball of wax.
So I have two comments to your response. If you had scored 98 points last week, I bet you'd be begging for Gurley to come back. You'd be like, hey, when's Julius Thomas coming back? Is that right?
Well, you know, hindsight's a pretty thing. There are multiple wide receiver teams that I have built, and depending upon the combination that you have or you don't have, I mean, I feel good if you had a Brandon Cooks, Calvin Johnson, Steve Smith, Amari Cooper combination, which I do have, and it happens to be in my local league here, and cumulatively they put up about 37 points. I think it's more of what the opportunity exists there, and even if I had scored poorly and I see the guys on the field and their target monsters, then, you know, it's the next, you know, it's just the next week that comes about. But it is nice, like you said, to get the 220 in the bank now, but it's 1 week, and I don't put that much emphasis on it. I don't look at the team and think it was a lucky week, but I also know it's a long road, and you have to stay healthy, and that's the most important thing. Already the guys with the Dez Bryant players, you know, you lose your number one pick in the probably somewhere between the 6 and the 11 hole where he got drafted, and things become very, very, very difficult. And the way you win these things come from a variety of ways, and exploring last year and how the teams are put together. I'm sure everybody knows that last year you're talking about an Odell Beckham in round 16 or 14 or 15 or wherever he was going, and C.J. Anderson off the waiver wire. So it's a long haul, and obviously, again, you got to be very, very fortunate that, one, you pick an effective squad, and, two, that it can stay healthy for you.
Yeah, and I mean, you're definitely right about being, needing to be fortunate with injuries and everything, but when you have a team like this, we already talked about Gurley, Duke Johnson, Julius Thomas. I mean, the wide receivers on this team, Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton, DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, they're fantastic. And part of the reason, Bo, that you were able to acquire so many of those receivers and the, you know, the Gurley, Johnson, Julius trio is because you waited on quarterbacks. And this is something that you and Aram and AJ have done for a long time. You have a history of it in doing it in most of your leagues. What is your thinking behind waiting on a quarterback so much, and why do you continue to do it and do it to the extent, as far as waiting on a quarterback, do it to the extent that you do it?
Well, I do it that way. In the mainline teams, that are 1,300 teams, when you see that, if you play in the football players, you will see a much greater amount of talent that sits in that room in Vegas. It's a tremendous amount of talent that sits in that room. And one of the consistent themes is that the quarterbacks go a lot later in the main line in Vegas than they go in the Football Players Championship. Because I think most people realize that unless you're going to get the total superstar or some form of a double dip in Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton or Nelson or Cobb and Rodgers, there's not much difference. And I would venture to say that I would make a small little wager, since you guys are making a little wagers, that quarterbacks taken in the 7th, 8th, and 9th round, let's just assume they're Romos and Eli Mannings and Peyton Mannings and Russell Wilsons. I would wager that guys like Carson Palmer or Philip Rivers, somebody you can get in rounds 14 through 17, may at the end of the year surprise you that they're within a point or two on a weekly basis average. And if you can get your quarterback that late, then where these guys are getting in their 7th, 8th, and 9th rounds, and I can pluck that Duke Johnson, or whether it be Gurley, or whether it be an upscale wide receiver or wide receiver 4 or 5, whoever it might be, and that blooms into a 20-point player, and you got a 20-point bonus on it. You just get yourself another chance to draft that 20-point guy that you're going to need in the playoffs, and all you might be giving up is a point or two at the quarterback position. And there are a hell of a lot of quarterbacks. Flacco and Eli Manning did it last year, probably averaged 20 points a game, and their draft picks were way down in rounds as compared to others. And I think you'll see with Daltons and Cutlers and especially Carson Palmer, so I think that team's going to have a very, very nice offense. You just get the benefit of an extra spot of a player that can ultimately put up an extra 20 spot later on and help you at playoff time, and you're not giving up a position in the 7th, 8th, or 9th round when you're trying to build your roster and you're trying to build depth. So that's the philosophy behind it. That is one thing that AJ, Aram, and I have always agreed upon. And you just got to be fortunate enough to find that guy in the 16th, 17th. And in the football players, AJ and I are drafting quarterbacks sometimes in the 18th and 19th round and having a little last longer on it.
Let's talk a little bit about the bare knuckles challenge that you did. There's no computers, cheat sheets, or any other devices. It's right after the opening night game viewing party. You know, I had a few drinks. First couple of questions. First of all,
I like how you just pepper that in.
No, I go. It's important to my question.
Okay.
Bobby.
All right. Okay.
I want you to tell us about what the experience was like. And secondly, was I actually talking too loud before the draft? Because Alex yelled at me, and I'm like just trying to have a conversation with Stan Mythios and Shelley Fossum. She's the only girl who plays, and she's like the Neo.
That's not true.
So anyway, most importantly,
people thought you were swallowing the microphone. I think that was the terminology that was used. however, the bare knuckles challenge is just it's different, all right? It's just something that is extremely different. It is a different type of a challenge. It's my third time doing it. I did it 2 years ago, then we took a year off, and I did it again. And what it does really is it gives you an ability to review your materials, and in some form or fashion, you basically know every single player that is can viably be drafted, and it gets you better in tune to who may be sleepers, who you're going to, especially in rounds 15 through 20 or whatever it is, you kind of have a handle on all the players, and then once you have a handle on all the players, you can somewhere during the preseason or NFL or whatever it is, get an opportunity to watch all those players. And I think it helped me in the mainline drafts as well. But the challenge of it's fantastic. I mean, 30 seconds, no papers, totally by memory, looking at a board and trying to build a roster that way. It certainly is different. It's unlike the methodical approach where you have on the main line, where you got a full minute and a half of a computer in front of you. You know who has been taken. So I like it, and hopefully I will be able to continue to do that in the years to come.
And Ira's Bo has put up a third place score this past week. So congrats to you. And that would be a good team to look at going forward. Of course, we're talking with Bo Berman, the 2015 FFPC main event leader after week one. Now, Bo, this doesn't really pertain so much to the main event because these guys are being drafted in most of the main event leagues, but it pertains to a lot of your football guys, players championship leagues, where not a lot of these are. Neither of these guys are picked in a lot of the drafts. As far as waivers went this week with James Jones, Deion Lewis, how did you treat those guys? Were you bidding heavily on them, or did you just kind of play some keep them honest wagers and see where it took your teams?
It would be a keep an honest wager with regards to Deion Lewis. I had little or no interest in James Jones, and I heard the debate earlier on. I am not a big James Jones fan. From a talent standpoint, being cut by the Oakland Raiders and the New York Giants doesn't exactly excite me. The fact that he has a tremendous rapport with Rodgers is somewhat uplifting. He also had four targets and caught four balls. Him and Kendall Wright, I think, shared that honor of putting up huge numbers this past week. And the numbers that you're talking about of picking that guy up in leagues of 900, 800, 700, my response is if you need a James Jones for $900, you are already in trouble. Deion Lewis is a different story.
Exactly.
Deion Lewis is a different story because Deion Lewis got a little Shane Vereen potential in him. Of course, you're playing on the most volatile team for running backs that has ever been for fantasy. You have guys who can run for 240 yards 1 week and not even be on the roster. You're suiting up the next week like Jonas Gray did last year. The guy, I mean, he plays with your mind, Belichick, and I think he just looks at the fantasy and plays with people's minds. But Deion Lewis looked quick. He obviously, LeGarrette Blount cannot handle in any shape or form any pass-catching duties. He's got bricks for hands. So Lewis, if he could get the traditional Vereen job, is a very nice safety net for a flex play or what we call a flex player or a 15-point player. Trying to grab his, five or six passes a game for his 60 yards. So in the leagues that I and most of my teams needed running back depth. The concept I use in football players is basically the same, wide receiver heavy. I did make some bids. I did get him. I think my highest amount I bid on him was $103. I got him for that amount. And if I wasted $103, we will ultimately see. But I certainly think he's got some top end to him to where he can help out a roster.
Great analysis on Deion Lewis there from Bo Berman leading the FFPC main event. Bo, we're very thankful that you were able to join us tonight. But before we let you go, we do want to ask you one last question. You have the honor of being the first in-season guest to answer this for 2015. But give us a sleeper that you think would make a pretty good start in FFPC and Football Guys Leagues this week. And maybe a stud that you would consider benching, whereas a lot of other people are going to have him starting this week.
All right, well, let's go, and it's hindsight 2020, so I'm going to look like a genius, but I'm not going to be throwing anything out there. Last night, Aram, AJ, and I, we're texting back and forth before the Kansas City-Denver game, and he throws two names at me. What do you do with Sanders, and what do you do with Macklin, and what do you do with Anderson is one of my, another text that came into me. And I immediately told people Anderson's an automatic bench. The guy is banged up. He didn't look good the first week, and Hillman is going to be pressing him a little bit. Thursday night games usually aren't that high scoring, and I don't exactly get excited about seeing Jeremy Macklin line up wide right where he did most of the time last week, and he's going to match up against Aqib Talib. So actually, AJ benched Macklin, kept Sanders. He looks like an absolute rocket scientist coming off of that. This week, I don't know if Vontae Davis, I'm going to do a little bit of research, if Vontae Davis is shadowing Brandon Marshall. I don't think that's a good thing for Brandon Marshall. But Sammy Watkins went basically targetless with Vontae Adams shadowing him. Or Vontae Davis, I'm sorry, not Vontae Adams, but Vontae Davis shadowing him. So I'm not a big Marshall fan if that in fact happens, and like Decker a lot better. As far as sleepers, if Spiller don't play, I like both Brandon Coleman and Kyrie Robinson for New Orleans. And if Hilton doesn't play, I think the two tight ends are going to have huge weeks for Indianapolis, being Allen and Fleener. Because I am very much not an Andre Johnson fan. I just think that his best years are behind him, and he reminds me a little bit of Reggie Wayne. Now, I'm sure he'll go out this week and catch 14 balls with three touchdowns. But so I like the tight ends of Indianapolis. I think they're going to score rather well.
He makes a good point about Andre Johnson, for one. And then Moncrief, too. He always seems like he's just kind of running around out there. You know what
Moncrief,
I mean?
But Moncrief, I'm going to tell you, you go back, I guarantee you go back to last Friday and Saturday. There are 1,300, maybe 1,250 out of 1,300 teams. I think missed the boat on Moncrief. And sometimes the info, we just get overloaded. You get into the Philip Dorsett, all right, that he is going to be this monster. And everybody forgets that no matter what, when they play the three wide receiver sets, Dante Moncrief is going to be ended up that third guy. Even before Hilton got hurt, Moncrief was acquiring targets in that game against Buffalo. I just think that, you know, everybody wants to put that little find that guy, and then Dorsett became that guy. As with during all the football players, Cody Latimer was that guy, and now Cody Latimer, sometimes the coach lets him come on the field for one or two plays in the first two games and isn't a factor. But I think we overlooked Moncrief, and I think Moncrief would have been a factor even if Hilton did not get hurt. And with Hilton banged up and Johnson being what I think to be probably his best days behind him, I made a mistake in all four of my teams not having him. I mean, he wasn't even one league he didn't even go on that I drafted in a main line. And the other three, he's probably in round 15 through 18. So I'm a big Moncrief fan all of a sudden. But if you missed the boat on him, his money probably situation was way too much for anybody to go gather either.
Well,
I was just going to say about Moncrief, he was a big talent, you know, as far as athleticism, he was fantastic coming out. And he came out at a young age, which we always know when those guys come out at a young age and then they take a year to develop, they really can explode.
Sort of makes the Monday night matchup juicier to watch as far as fantasy goes with the Colts coming off that big loss to Buffalo. And if Hilton doesn't play, we're going to see what happens with Fleener, Allen, and Moncrief. So, Bo, this was a great interview that we had. We're so lucky to have you on tonight. I want to wish you best of luck on this team going forward. Gurley, Johnson, Julius, DeAndre, Antonio Brown, Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton, the list goes on. It is a great team, my friend. I have a feeling that this is going to be one of your more successful ones this year, and I wish you best of luck, and thank you for coming on the show.
All right, thank you guys for having me. Love to. All right, be good, guys.
Bo Berman, the leader of the FFPC main event after week one. Hell of a team, hell of an interview, hell of a great time, really.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I loved it. That was a lot of great stuff.
Good booking. We got the first place team this week.
Yeah, you know, we were just fortunate in the fact that I have some pull with the FFPC to get these guys to see if they like to come on. So that was really cool.
Chris texted him probably. Right?
Yeah, Chris really is the silent host of this show. Moving on, Dave. I don't have any production for it because we kind of threw it together last minute. But let's go into our first one of the season. It's our HSFF FFPC DFS FCLA segment. Of course, that stands for the High Stakes Fantasy Football or Fantasy Football Players Championship Daily Fantasy Sports Fantasy Championship Lineup Advice segment. And we are going to enter the – well, you already have.
Well,
I'm going
all,
to enter.
Let's talk about how we came about this.
Okay. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. This is a good story. Yeah.
Well, NFFC, this is a competing contest. You know, I'm not afraid to mention who they are. Greg Ambrose, just a nice fella. They have this Draft Champions National Championship, and they introduced this a couple years ago. And I always laugh because it's like, you know, if you win this, you're the National Fantasy Football Championship, Draft Champions, National Championship Champion.
Draft Champion.
Yes, Draft Champion. See, so then to do the abbreviation, is the NFFC – I can't even do it.
No, it'd be the NFFC, NDC, DC, NDC.
Right, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to let them –
which, by the way, I plan on being that this year because I'm in that contest.
Well, good luck.
Yeah,
good
thank
luck.
You.
I'm not going to let them – be better than us. They think they're better than us. We're better than them. We're going to have more initial than they have.
We're going taxi driver on them, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. We got them. So this is it.
Well,
this is our. We're trumping them.
Yes. So
I'm like Donald Trump, and it's like, you know, they're all right, but we're way better.
Right. I've had to petition Twitter to add some more characters onto our tweets just because of this. So once this takes the industry by storm, then we'll be able to tweet it out more accurately instead of abbreviating it. So
suck on that, Greg. I hope you enjoy our segment.
Don't speak ill will of another fellow Wisconsinite.
I'm just kidding. You know, Greg will never listen to this anyway. And if he did, he'll love it.
He's a big downloader. I don't know how much he listens.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he told me. He's like, hey, listen.
He's totally lying to you.
I could do a good Ambrosius.
Do Greg quick.
Hey, guys, I really love your show. I think it's a fantastic – I don't listen to it, but I download it every week. Sort of a little Jesse Ventura-ish to it. But I didn't get a chance to talk to him in Vegas this year, so it's a little
rusty.
All right,
let's rock this up.
So we're going to join the FPC Daily Championship this week. You're in there. I'm going to get in there as soon as I get home, and I already have my lineup. And
you have to actually enter, by the way.
I'm going
Otherwise,
to.
You get disqualified from the
– Yeah, how do you get disqualified from something you
I
don't enter?
I want you
enter?
To show me the score.
Are you going
to
qualify me for it?
I need to see it on your score. But you have to
well,
put
I,
money
I
in.
Think what we should do is not only put the $20 each into this, but I think we should make – and I got five on this every single
right,
week between
right.
our teams.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to read off our lineups. Would you like to do – you are only – are you submitting all these lineups into it?
These are various lineups I already
you
have done.
You got to pick one.
Well,
I'm not going
– Obviously, I'm picking one lineup
okay.
off.
All right. Pick one lineup.
I already have like six or seven different lineups.
That's fine. But I'm only going to get one of yours because I'm
yeah,
only entering
obviously
one.
The one that I'm going to name
Jesus.
Out.
Okay. We got 6 minutes, so let's shuffle through here.
All right. So am I starting? Are we going
– Yeah, go ahead and start.
The whole thing or just – position was
do you want to go position by position
yeah sure whatever let's try it
okay so you want to start with your quarterback Dave
let's start with the defense
okay start with the defense
I have the Saints are laying 10 points at home against Tampa and Jameis Winston's gonna suck
I'm actually taking a road defense
4500
I'm taking a road defense this week
always a train wreck
but it's a good one and uh-huh. they're facing the Redskins
Ooh.
So it's not really like
St. Louis
St. Louis so I'm right. taking the St.
What
Louis Rams 49
all right
Okay. There you go.
Kicker Josh Brown.
I have him going in a lot.
4,500.
Yeah, I have him going in a lot of redraft leagues. I really didn't care about this too much, but I like the idea of picking the kicker who is the biggest favorite this week. So I'm taking Zach Hawker against Tampa.
There you go. Same price, 45.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now we'll go to quarterback.
Okay.
I'm going with Sam Bradford. He's 7,500, not too expensive, in an over-under of 55 in an offense where you have a ton of points.
A ton of plays. I went a little cheap here, but I really like what this guy brings to the table, both passing and rushing, which a lot of people were talking about it before week one, and they were proved right. So I'm riding the Tyrod Taylor bandwagon this week at home against the Patriots, a team they usually play tough. I feel like even if it's not a shootout-type game, Taylor's still going to have a big impact on it. And for $6,300, I can spend elsewhere,
money. Nice job. Joseph Randall at running back, he's relatively inexpensive, $6,700. Again, I'm playing the 55 over-under here. I think the game's going to be a shootout. And Dez is out, so I think they're going to rely on him a little bit more.
So do you want to do both your running backs?
Oh, sure. I'll also do Amir Abdullah, and the reason why is because he's awesome.
Yeah. I also have Abdullah in my lineup at Minnesota for $6,400. Abdullah, did you see the Vine? Well, I don't know if you saw the Vine. Maybe you actually saw the play.
No, I missed the Vine.
Okay, well.
I don't watch all that.
Well, it's fine.
Social media
garbage.
Crap.
Okay, so they had the Vine of Abdullah setting up Eric Weddle in the secondary, where he just – Eric Weddle, by the way, who's a Pro Bowl safety – and Abdullah just set him up and blew right by him.
We watched it live at Blondie.
It was like Iverson crossing over a defender back in the day. It was pretty awesome. So
someone asked the coach about Abdullah versus Joique Bell, and he kind of snickered or something like that. But I also heard that it's just about playing time.
The head coach,
the guy
we used to be with Indy. Why can't I think
Caldwell?
Jim Caldwell. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So you have Abdullah and. I have Darren Sproles as my other running back. $5,600.
You must have stud running at stud receivers.
I do. At home against the Cowboys, which, again, I think that could be a pretty good shootout game. Sproles crushed it catching passes last week. He was heavily involved in the game plan. I don't see that changing. And for $5,600, can't really do any better.
Not bad. I'm going to go with the highest priced guy on the board, Antonio Brown, at $9,200. You may have him as well.
I also have him against the Niners.
All right, let's skip him. I have Randall Cobb, actually. I think – now, granted, if he's out, I'm going to substitute, so sorry.
That's fine.
But Randall Cobb is who I have in there right now.
We should mention that, too. Like, we do reserve the right to change these. These are not, like, locked into our –
Oh, crap. They're locked in other than injury subs.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, other than injury subs. We're locked into it.
All right, so I have Cobb.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is his quarterback.
And your other receiver. Let's –
Jordan Matthews, the hookup to Bradford.
Okay, so Matthews. So you're getting a piece of that Eagles action.
I'm going hookup on that. Another 50, you know, again, 55-point over-under. He's going to get a lot of targets.
So recap, you have Brown, Jordan Matthews, and Randall Cobb. I also have Brown. I went with Julio Jones at the New York Football Giants.
Did you see last week?
He does not stink or suck. He is awesome, and they're at the Giants, so I think that will be another shootout-type game.
Well, total there's 49.5.
He is a big-time weapon, probably going to be the most talented player on the field all day. Day giving him for $8,800.
No, it's nice.
Larry Fitzgerald is my sleeper receiver.
Ooh,
yeah,
University of Phoenix Online.
Fitz at the Chicago Bears, $5,900. I know Michael Floyd is doing better in practice this week, but I just feel like Fitz is going to get the targets against a bad defense. Carson Palmer looked good last week, and I only had 6,000 left after my tight end, which we're going to get to in a little bit.
Your tight 6,000?
No, after I had my tight end, I had $6,000 to spend on Fitz, my last spot.
Gotcha. So. I cannot quit the Eagles-Cowboys game, so I went with Jason Witten
for
$6,000.
Yeah.
So again, now I have Randall, I have Witten. If these dudes aren't scoring with Dez out, I don't know what's going on. That's it.
Dave, I don't know a whole lot about fantasy football, but I know one thing. If you don't have Gronk, you can't win. So I went with Rob Gronkowski as
at
my
Buffalo,
tight end.
Huh? At Buffalo, huh?
Yeah, at Buffalo.
Good luck.
Thank you. So we have Tyrod Taylor, Amir Abdullah, Darren Sproles, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Larry Field, Rob Gronkowski, Zach Hawker, and the Rams for me.
You know, the difference is Hawker.
All right.
Bradford, Randall, Abdullah, Randall Cobb, Antonio Brown, Jordan Matthews, Jason Witten, Josh Brown, and the Saints defense, which generally sucks, but Sheamus is coming to town.
All right, so check that out. We're going to tweet that link out for any of you who want to play in the FFPC Daily Fantasy Championship with FanDuel. There's plenty of spots still left, but they're filling up a lot faster than I thought. So I actually need to get home and get into that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Check that out on FanDuel.com. Check out the links from our Twitter account, Facebook page.
And say thanks to Jake from FanDuel for the Calvin Harris
stuff.
Thanks to Chip Silver for FanDuel, Bo Berman, Gatorade, FedEx, the FFPC, Rob Rice. We'll be back next week. Play the Daily Championship. Your weekend starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week.